Blog Talk Radio.
Black Hole Radio presents Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness with your hosts, Rudolf Muhammad,
the Deacon of Destruction,
and Yusuf Muhammad.
People get ready, there's a train a coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the divas calling. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. For the train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Open the door and board them. There's hope for the most.
Peace and blessings in the name of the Most High God, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the Compassionate. We thank him, and we can never thank him enough for waking us up this morning and starting us along the way. We want to welcome our listening audience to another weekly edition to Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, a program that wants you to become self-reliant in taking appropriate action in response to any emergency. We need you to survive, as the gospel singer would sing. You know, this program promotes awareness and engages in public outreach to inform, to educate, and to train all people on how to best prepare for, respond to, and recover from all emergencies. Our objective is to ensure that everyone has a reasonable working knowledge of disaster preparedness, and to help you to determine the best choices in any emergency response to avert danger and to save lives. Our vision is that each individual citizen, including every capable man, woman, and child, understand their personal responsibility, and don't count me out, my personal responsibility, for the safety of themselves and myself, your family and my family, your neighbors and my neighbors, and the overall well-being of the larger community. I am your co-host, Brother Yusuf Muhammad, along with our dear brother, Brother Rudolph T. Muhammad. We just are elated that we have this opportunity to come before you, as we do each and every Friday from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We encourage you that if you've logged on to Blog Talk Radio / Black Hole Radio, whole spell W-H-O-L-E-B-A CP, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, then we encourage you to get on your networking, call your database, get on your database and call your network and tell your people to call in at 563-999-3089. Again, 563-999-3089. I'm honored, first of all, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, to greet you with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the language of our ancestors. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Thank you, Brother Rudolph. That simply means, to those who may not be aware of that greeting, peace be unto you, and the return greeting is unto you be peace. And as we are taught, not only is it the language of our ancestors, but we're offering each other a prayer. And in times like these, critical hours like these, dark moments like these, we need all the prayer, all the sunshine, all the blessings we can get, and don't even worry about it. If your day is cloudy, we realize the sun still exists 93 million miles away above the clouds. So we're going to stay eternally grateful for breath, for life, for love. So, as I laid the base and offered you peace and blessings, it gives me great pleasure to turn the microphone over to our dear brother, co-host Rudolph T. Muhammad. The floor is yours, beloved.
Thank you, beloved. Beginning all things in the name of the one true God, that one that is responsible for your and my existence. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is called the Grand Architect of the Universe because it was designed in his celestial mind and then brought forth into existence by a word from him. It is he who is responsible for our creation. And think of that, as a good father would do to any of his children. He provided for us everything that we need in this existence before we even got here. You know, you think about the parents who are having their first child, and they have the baby shower, and they get all the gifts and everything. Then she goes into labor, and she goes to the hospital, and they have the baby by God's grace. And the baby is fine. Now it's time to bring the baby home. So the father has already painted the baby's room and put the crib together. And they cleaned and sanitized the house and got everything ready to bring the baby into that ordered environment. Well, it was the same thing with God, Allah, as the creator. He provided everything in this environment before he allowed us to be born into the world, so that when we got here, everything we needed was already here. What can you say about a person who goes to that extent for your and my comfort, other than they are a loving parent? Well, when you have a loving parent, it's respectful of you to be respectful to them and of them, and to show respect to them, what you are supposed to do is learn all you can about them so you can learn all you can about yourself. Secondly,
that's right,
you are to try and figure out, well, why did they bring me into existence? Why am I here? What am I here to do? And, you know, scripture says, blessed is the man who knows his reason for being here and is found doing it. Well, once you figure out why you were brought into existence, or realize and understand what your gift or your talent from your creator is, it's your job to master that gift so that you can be a blessing to humanity by serving humanity with the gift that was blessed to you from your creator. So that was all a tangent. I got off on a tangent, Brother Yusuf. But the main thing is I just wanted to greet the family of Muhammad, the well-wishers of Muhammad, the supporters of Muhammad, and even the detractors that are on the line. Because even if you're a detractor, if you listen carefully with an open mind and don't have a jaundiced eye or a jaundiced heart, then you're going to have to agree with us by the end of this program that something that we said was a benefit to you, because the creator that put us on this mission designed this for good. And our intentions are good. And so our follow-through has to be just as good, because the entire design of this is to make sure that when you leave our program after 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that you are one step closer to being prepared for yourself and your family than you were when you came to the program. So that means in this two-hour period, Brother Yusuf, we got to cover something that somebody did not know and give them a crystal clear understanding of it, so that when they leave us, they can go and tell somebody else about it and help somebody else to get on the road to preparedness. So in the three great names of Allah, who appeared to us in the person of Master Farhan Muhammad, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I greet everyone under the sound of my voice in the greeting words of peace and of paradise of As-Salaamu Alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Thank you, sir. You know, let me just get right to it and say this. You know, we're going through this heat wave everywhere on the planet. Nobody is exempt from it. And heat brings about its own category of or circumstances, especially when you have pre-existing conditions. Heat causes people who already have cardiac-related incidences to stress out a little, because you can't get comfortable in the heat. The air is thick, it's harder to breathe, and so you go into panic mode because you can't catch your breath. Heat for a person who suffers from hypertension or chronic high blood pressure stresses them out, because with that pressure already being up, then they're uncomfortable because of the exterior environment around them. It brings about anxiety and causes other things to happen. Heat to a person with diabetes. Now they want to drink more because, of course, their throat is getting dry. They're feeling a little parched. They're getting dehydrated. So they want to drink more. But as you drink more, then you have to urinate more. As you urinate more, now you have to nourish yourself more, because the constant urination is taking nutrition and nutrients out of the body, so it has to be replenished. And so as you eat and drink more, now you have to go more, and you create a vicious cycle of what's called the three Ps, polydipsia, polyphagia, and polyuria, meaning eating, drinking, and urinating more than normal, and which is a clear-cut sign of a diabetic-related condition. But again, it's exacerbated by heat. So as we're going through these heat phases, we also know that intense heat is a purifier. Well, you might be wondering, well, how is need a purifier if it's causing all of these conditions. Well, the conditions that you're going through weren't caused by the heat. They were caused by your and my disobedience to the instructions from God. What disobedience? Mm-hmm. Eating one meal a day. Okay? Eating one meal a day would help to cut out the excess in our weight, the excess in our elevated blood pressure, the excess in our elevated sugar, the excess in all of the negative categories that we're facing, because eating that one meal a day would help keep us on a good nutritional path that would help keep our weight down, which would keep the weight off of our skeletal structure, which means we wouldn't be carrying that much physical weight, so our bones wouldn't be feeling the aches and pains of the excess weight that we're carrying. So it's a vicious cycle, Brother Yusuf, that we go through. But what I want to do after you give some information is I want to do a little, give a little information on the heart, because as people in general, more and more as things are going, and the scripture says it, that, you know, in that day, which is this day that we're living in now, men's hearts would fail them because of fear. Well, yes, it'll fail you because of fear, but it's also going to fail you because things are going on with our hearts that we're not paying attention to, and we're ignoring the warning signs until it gets to the point where the heart just can't take it anymore, and it just stops. And then we have a major conundrum. So we'll talk about that a little later on in the program, Brother Yusuf.
Oh, beautiful, Brother Rudolph. Beautiful baseline assessment, brother, that you laid. So much came to my mind for our listening audience that's not familiar with the book, How to Eat to Live, from God in Person, Master Fahd Muhammad, by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You can go to finalcallstore.noi.org. Again, Final Call, FINALCALL Store, store.noi.org. To purchase and learn more about these books, books 1 and 2 by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It helps us, as Brother Rudolph said, with our God-given immune system, which is the best defense against COVID-19 or any comorbidity, as Brother Rudolph explained. I'll quote the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I quote, if we eat the proper food and eat at the proper time, the food will keep us living a long, long time, unquote. And as you know, while consistent listening audience know, we can't move forward without giving credit where credit is due. So whether it's scripture that you read, or whether it's quotes from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, or any subject matter expert, if you will, it's critical that we share what has been given to us to give to you and to give to us. And so a quote from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and our quote is, those who are scripturally prepared to know that it is prophesied that we would be living in a time of wars and rumors of war, pestilence, famine, and earthquakes in diverse places. We are witnessing terrifying disasters afflicting the peoples of the world, and those disasters are now afflicting the United States of America. Believing that those prophecies will be fulfilled, it is our duty to learn as much as we can on disaster preparedness and do all we can to prepare the American people, and our people in particular, for coming disasters, unquote, by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Well, what does that have to do with Brother Rudolph talking about the heart and what the heat does in terms of anyone who might have hypertension, chronic high blood pressure, or diabetes. The three T's, the three polys, as he talked about the results of having that. Let us say this from the beginning, just as a disclaimer. You know, this program and its services do not constitute the practice of medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always talk to your health care provider for diagnosis and treatment, including your specific medical needs. If you have or suspect that you have a medical problem or condition, please contact a qualified health care professional immediately. If you are in the United States and experiencing a medical emergency, call 911. So look, let's make it personal. I just recently be examined by a new healthcare provider, as we talked about a few weeks ago, Brother Rudolph, here on this program, about what we should consider. And so that particular morning, he said my blood pressure registered high. And, you know, he's not really knowing me, and the first thing he wanted to do was prescribe medication to lower my blood pressure. But then he used the term, yeah, high blood pressure is oftentimes called the silent killer. I've heard that term before, but I had to stop him personally because, again, we were just getting to know one another, and I was, you know, my reply to him was, well, brother, is there, and this doctor happened to be from Nigeria, is there anything holistically I can do to lower my blood pressure before you start offering me prescription drugs, if you will, right off the bat? And we continue to discuss that. But I was glad I went to the doctor, him giving me a baseline assessment of, you know, blood pressure, you know, the vital signs. And, of course, that is it the body mass index, the BMI, and, you know, the whole numbers that they register on that. And so I just wanted to make sure everything was ticking right according to, you know, this first visit to this new doctor. And, of course, he had to do what he had to do in order to satisfy the insurance companies, you know, make sure all his T's were crossed and I's were dotted. And then, you know, the American Medical Association is real, for me, kind of different now. It's rapidly being like they look to you as though you're just a number on the assembly line.
That's right.
Because as I was having certain conversations with him, and he was candid, all of a sudden I hear a knock on the door. He comes in, and he says, okay. So anyway, in the final analysis, I realized he had me on a timer. My time was
right
up. That's what that knock on the door meant.
Right.
Like, well, then what about my personal health care? Right. Yeah, my business is on personal. You know, personal health care. You know what I mean? But the bottom line is what I'm saying is when you talked about the heart, and Lord willing, inshallah, we'll have somebody who's actually going through a particular challenge right now. A dear friend of ours, our brother from back, Full Flash in the Cadillac, Brother
That's
Chief,
right.
Eddie Stevenson Muhammad, who will be calling in shortly. But it's critically important that we lay the base that we lay because sometimes we get so caught up in, well, disaster preparedness might be community involvement, yes, community investment, yes, community partnership, yes, for community risk reduction. Yes, it's all of that. That won't mean a thing until we understand the importance of self-improvement being the
right
basis for community development. And we know, as the minister has taught us, the baseline of self-improvement is self-examination,
right,
self-analysis, self-correction.
That's right.
You know, so I've been giving myself, you know, daily blood pressure readings and whatnot, and you know, my thing to the doctor was of knowing what I know. If you're using those that you get from the drugstore, how do you know that they're properly calibrated?
Right.
His reply to me was, keep using the same one. I'll be able to determine whether. I said, okay, well, I'll do that. But again, if it's not properly calculated, you know, sometimes it reads error. Sometimes it reads too high. Sometimes it reads too low. And so, you know, this is, I'm just sharing with our listening audience just my personal walk in the last,
yes, sir,
say, 30 days or so, or less than that. And then when our brother, who we know is in good shape, who we know, I mean, relatively speaking, follows the dictates, the dietary law of one meal a day, and all of us slip. All of us, you know, that's between you and the law, as you said, Brother Rudolph, in terms of our obedience to it. But then, you know, our dear brother found out, sort of becoming dizzy, transported to the hospital, they determined that his artery was clogged. And that was sort of silent. You know, he had just come from the gym. I don't know if he's in the studio as of yet. We want to introduce,
yes, sir,
him properly. You on, Brother Eddie?
Yes, sir. I'm on, brother.
Praise be to Allah.
Introduce to our listening audience this young man who I've known since, as they used to say in the street, Brother Rudolph, four flats in the Cadillac. I've been knowing him for, you know, a few days now.
Did you got any updates?
Blessed us to come into
the
Nation of Islam at the same time, and to come into the fire department at the same time. So this man has been blessed to matriculate to become the chief of the fire department in Mount Vernon. Position as deputy chief, and he's actually, you know, our listening audience, for the consistent and constant listeners, you know our program is live and in living color.
That's
so
right.
Our brother
That's
had
right.
A few days ago, thank Allah much that his health is improving, but we thought it would be to your advantage, our listening audience, to hear from him, his testimony of what he went through a couple of days ago. Brother Eddie, if you have the opportunity to share with our listening audience, brother, the floor is yours.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Joseph. First, I'd like to say assalamu alaikum to the listening audience.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam,
thank Allah, I thank Allah to be in the land of the living.
After what I have just
experienced in the last few days. But before I get into it, I just want to thank Brother Joseph, Brother Rudolph, Brother Forrest, for the opportunity to be on your show. I know y'all been trying to get me on this show for a long, long time. But
Allah works in mysterious ways.
But right
brother,
now,
we didn't mean for you to go ahead and have a heart attack, brother, just to get on the show. You could
yes,
have done
right,
that without
right,
that
right.
sacrifice, brother.
That was a bit drastic.
Yes, I'm going to find a hospital bed right now. I don't have any visitors. So I got all the time in the world. So, but again,
Brother Eddie, so you said telling us that you're living the 23rd Psalm. He maketh to lie down in green pastures.
Oh yes, sir, brother. Absolutely.
Lord is my shepherd. That's right. Go ahead.
But just let me tell my story real quick, because I think a lot of things that happen to us for a reason. And what happened to me, it was for a reason. And the reason I believe, because what happened to me, and I'm fortunate to come out and still be talking to you and living, but there's many other brothers and sisters that have that same condition right now that I'm sure is listening, and they don't even know it. Okay, and I'll get into that. So what happened to me, and again, I'm in relatively good health. I work out. I go to the gym at least 3 times a week. I'm on the treadmill. Even that day, it happened. I was on the treadmill for 30 minutes on the incline. I worked out, I lift weights. I got into the sauna for 15 minutes, and then I left the gym. I went over to a health food store that's across the street from the gym to, you know, grab a little bite to eat. And when I walk into the store, I start feeling a little lightheaded and a little nausea. And I'm like, something ain't right. Just not feeling good. So I walk out the store. I don't even buy anything to eat. I'm looking at all the food. This is one of these stores where they got all the food laid out behind the glass. And I'm looking at everything. Nothing seems appealing. I got a little nausea. I'm like, man, I'm just getting out of here. I got to get some air. And I'm sweating. So I go outside, and my car, thankfully, my car was parked right across the street. And I was heading for my car, and I'm glad I didn't get into my car because it might have been a different outcome, because I probably would have ended up going home. But there was a chair and a table right outside the store, and I said, let me just take a seat. I sat down in the chair, and I'm putting my head down, holding my head because I'm a little dizzy. And one of the employees that I know in the store, she comes out. She said, you all right, Eddie? You know, I know her. She gives me a paper towel, put on my head with some cold water, give me something to drink. I thought I was working out. She's joking with me. She's like, you know, you're too old to be working out now, like that. She said, you need some electrolytes. You know, take this water. She put some pink Himalayan salt in the water. She said, drink this. You know, you'll be fine. And I started sipping on the water and had the towel on my head. And actually, I started to feel better. But by this time, I'm laying down on the ground because I just felt like I needed to lay down. So I'm outside the restaurant laying on the ground. And she's talking to me. And then she's cracking jokes and people walking by. And she's like, yeah, he just got too much to drink. That's all. Don't worry about him. He's good. But something in my head is telling me to say, right, call the bus. You know, a bus is an ambulance, you know, and a fire service,
right.
We call it a bus. So someone's telling me, oh, just call the bus. So I get my phone out, and I call my dispatch. Now, I'm in the town over. I work in Mount Vernon. Pelham is the town over. I call them, I said, look, send me a bus over here. I'm not feeling well. So they said, all right, we're going to send somebody. They sent the bus from the Pelham, the town I was in. They get there. So while I'm waiting for the bus, a guy that I work out by the gym that I go to, I see him from time to time, an elderly white guy. He's about in his 70s. We have small talk with each other. He just happens to be walking by. I saw him in the gym earlier that day when I was there. I had just left, so he's coming out. He's going into the same health food store. And he sees me, you know, on the ground. So he's like, hey, you all right? He said, you know, I'm a doctor. I said, no, I didn't know. He said, what's wrong? I said, well, I think I just overdid it at the gym today. He's like, all right. He said, well, you mind? He said, I'm a doctor. You mind if I stick around and until the ambulance gets in and evaluate you? He said, because we don't want to just jump to conclusions and think that's what it is. Let's rule everything out. I said, sure. No problem. The paramedics get there. They come out. They know I'm a fire chief. So they're like, hey, chief, don't worry. We're going to take care of you. Great care of you. What's the matter? And I'm still saying, you know, I think I just overdid it at the gym, man. But he said, all right, well, let's put you on the EKG, you know, make sure everything is all right. Let's rule everything else out first. No problem. Put me on the EKG, and so him and the doctor, they reading and evaluating the EKG, and they're talking amongst each other, and they're pointing, and the doctor comes over to me, and he says, look, I'm going to talk to you like if you were my own son. He said, your EKG, I don't like what I'm seeing. He said, this is not from exercise. He said, you're having a cardiac episode. And he said, it's my advice that you get to the hospital immediately. So I was like, listen, you don't got to convince me. Let's go. Right, yeah. The EMT puts me, they put me in the bus. You know, he calls the hospital. So he said, they're looking at me. So the paramedic tells me, he said, I believe that you're having some type of ischemic attack, something doing with your heart. He said, I'm going to take you to Einstein Hospital in the Bronx. They have a great unit there that deals with that. I'm like, man, let's go, man. Y'all in charge. So he called it in. He called the hospital. He said, I got a 55-year-old fire chief of Mount Vernon coming in with a, he's talking about my symptoms and what he has, what he thinks I have.
Right.
They tell him, what time you getting in? He said, about 10, 15 minutes. He said, okay, they waiting on me. So now they start putting IVs right in the bus. They got two IVs going into me. I get
right.
to the hospital. He rolls me into the hospital. So when I get to the hospital, now the Bronx hospitals are crowded. It looks like a war zone inside the emergency rooms. So when I got there, there was about two doctors and nurses waiting for me. And they rolled me in. They put me right in to the side and, into a little area. They
right.
start taking my shirt off. They start putting on, IVs on me. They talking with the paramedic. He telling me what he thinks I got. They're giving me blood thinners. Sure enough, long story short, I had a blockage in one of my arteries. So they stabilized me. Now, keep it in mind, I don't have any pain at all. Classic
right.
Signs of heart attack, pain in your chest, pressure, people talking about it, feel like somebody sitting on your chest. I had none of that. I just had a little nausea and lightheadedness and sweaty. But something told me,
yeah.
Let's get this checked out. And when they got there, sure enough, that's what it was. They took me upstairs to the unit and gave me the cat. What do they call that? The catheter, where they go right up in through my groin.
Yeah. Through your groin, yeah, yeah.
And sure enough, they said, so I'm awake the whole time, I'm awake. They do local anesthesia, go right through your groin. I'm watching. I got two doctors working on me, another three or four nurses in the room. The doctor looks over, he tells me, he said, okay, we found a problem. He said, you have one of your arteries to your heart is 100% clogged.
Wow.
And then he said, you're very lucky. He said, because it's the right coronary artery. He said, if it was the left coronary artery, he said, it'd be a whole different story. They call that
yep.
the widow.
Yes, sir.
The main
right.
artery that brings blood to your heart is the left
That's
coronary
right.
artery. If that one gets clogged and it stops like that, basically you're a dead man. It was the right.
Right.
I was very lucky. He said, we're gonna clear the blockage and we're going to put in a stent. All this is going on as we talk. We talked. So the whole procedure took about an hour. They cleared the blockage, put a stent in, stopped the bleeding, and came me up to the ICU unit. And I was in ICU, and they're monitoring me with all types of, I had leads and wires coming all both arms, all over my chest. They monitored me for 24 hours. And so I was up there for ICU, and then they just sent me down to a regular floor last night. But that's where I am now. And right now, everything, my vitals look good. They gave me so much medication to bring that. They want to slow down your heart rate and stuff like that. So my blood pressure, like last night, was like 99 over 40-something.
Wow.
And my pulse rate was only like 49, which should be, 80 or more.
Yes, sir.
So, but everything's coming back up now. They're taking my vitals and blood from me like every 4 hours they come in. But I got nothing to complain about. Thank Allah that I'm still here. But
Allahu Akbar.
Yes, sir.
That's
but
right.
we all, and I want to share what happened because just like I'm walking around and I'm saying, if you see me, everybody who knows me, they can't believe. They say, Brother Eddie got a heart attack. Nobody can believe it.
Right.
Because, I'm not obese. I work out. I mean, and we talked about how to eat to live. I'm not 100% on how to eat to live, but I try to do my best to eat, good food. I don't eat fast food.
Sure.
I don't eat, McDonald's and Burger King. And so now that I'm in the hospital and talking to the different cardiologists and, I was just talking to one cardiologist cardiologist, and he was saying how, he said, do you have a family history of cholesterol and all that? And I said, yes, I do in my family. He said, who? My mother died at the age of 65 of a heart attack. My father died at the age of 61 of a heart attack. One of my older brothers died at 51 of a heart attack, and I had another brother died at 47 of a stroke. So we have position of cholesterol that runs in our family.
Right.
So the doctor was explaining, he said, you have some people who are absorb, or what do you call it? They absorb cholesterol. Their bodies doesn't affect them.
Right.
Then you have those that are non-absorbers where you could eat something and it'll just, your body will just take it on and you will, you know, you'll have that high cholesterol. And I'm in that group.
Yes.
So I have to make sure, like, I eat clean, you know. Like I tell everybody now, how to eat to live is law for me, you know, from now on, because it's really a matter of life and death on for real.
Right, right.
Yes, sir.
Now,
well, Brother Eddie, go ahead, Brother Guru.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I just want to thank you, first of all, Brother Eddie, for being so transparent with the family and sharing your experience, because I really believe that if we as black men do more of this and are more transparent with what's going on with us, we can save more lives with each other and learn from what's going on with each other. That can be as secretive as something. What you're trying to hide is all going to come out anyway.
Yes, sir.
So as the Quran says, we can be examples for one another. So now what I wanted to ask you, I want to go back through these symptoms, because a lot of times what happens where the heart is concerned, we do misdiagnose it ourselves or blow it off and think that it's something else. And part of that is denial, but part of it is just the fact we're not educated enough on the heart and how it works and what all the heart controls and the physiology of the heart, how it affects the rest of our body and the part it plays with all of our other organs.
Yes, sir.
Of the body to the engine of your car. And as long as it's functioning properly, you don't realize that there's other things going on. You don't care because the car is moving.
Yes,
but
sir.
Once the heart starts issues or showing symptoms of things, we have to get right on them, no matter how minor they may seem. So you said you were experiencing some dizziness, but you attributed that to the fact that you had a hard workout, and as the sister was making jokes with you, maybe you were dehydrated. That's a normal. That's a normal conclusion that anybody would make toward in that situation. But you see how you said that something in you was telling you that, oh, that's not right. This is not right. I need to go. So that accusing spirit, voice within us, some people call it consciousness, the God talking, he was talking to you. And had you silenced, it would be a totally different outcome right now.
Oh, yes, sir.
So yes, sir. One thing is, and I go back to this, Brother Yusuf, I'm going to take your line or this time. One thing is to be spiritually in tune with your with our Creator.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Spiritual. Because we are spirit. Yes, sir.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Because we are spiritual beings in a physical body is what moves us.
Absolutely.
Us and a chair. A set of
chair is just a chair. That's right. It has no spirit in it. It has no ability, even with four legs, to move. We're a body of flesh and blood, but without the spirit of God in us, we don't have the ability to move. So we have to be spiritually in tune first. Then we have to be in tune with the fact that our body gives us signs and symptoms when something is wrong, and we have to be smart enough or aware enough of what's going on with our body to know that this is not right. I need to check this thing out. So you had the dizziness. You had the nausea. Both of those are clear-cut signs and symptoms of a cardiac-related issue. The dizziness, yes, sir, the dizziness is because you're not getting enough oxygen-rich blood up into the brain. And you can't be because you had 100% blockage on the right side. So, you know, you couldn't be getting the right amount of oxygen-rich blood circulating through your body because it wasn't going back into the heart. So you just kept pumping out. And at a certain point, what was going to happen was there wasn't going to be anything left to pump out because nothing was returning. So, the nausea, the dizziness, the sweating. Well, some of it was sweating, but it was actually diaphoresis. And what diaphoresis is, that's a chemical sweat. That's a cold sweat. That's a chemical reaction going on within the body that's causing the body to release fluid through the skin, but it's not there because you're overheated. It's because there's a chemical reaction taking place because of your biology or chemistry that's going on right now. So that's another clear-cut sign of cardiac condition. So see, we get the signs, but because we're not really astute enough or in tune to the heart, realize that they are signs. Brother Yusuf, you can go ahead. I just wanted to, you know, just bring that point up.
Let me just add something before Brother Yusuf goes, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
Brother Rudolph, I mean, you're right on it. Again, that voice in my head said, this ain't right. I call, and I'm going to tell you, when I told my doctor, my personal doctor, when I called him, I told him what happened. And I went through the whole story. I went to the hospital, and he said, "Ed," he said, "I'm so happy you did that, and you didn't waste time. You didn't go home." He said, "You did two things." He said, "You saved your heart." He said, "You probably saved your life." Now, right. What did he mean by saving my heart? Okay, so Allah, and I thank Allah, so they cleared the blockage, and when they did the test, I had zero damage to my heart. If I would have waited, went home, waited for the chest pains to start, well, those chest pains are your heart muscle dying for lack of
oxygen.
That's
right.
Okay, so now you rush to the hospital. You may not die, but they'll clear the blockage, but now your heart might be at 50% or
exactly.
Or
that's
okay,
right.
So I have zero damage to my heart. Nothing. Because why? I took prompt
action. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So you're
Allahu Akbar.
Yes,
beautiful.
Sir.
That's why I let him talk, Brother Eddie, because you're the chief of the fire department, and he's training the trainer as a paramedic, all nationally certified. What do I have to say, brother? I'm listening to two subject matter experts, brother. And y'all know, you know, inside joke family, they call me the logistics chief, you know what I mean? And so since the ambulance in the box got you from Pelham, brother, to the hospital, you know, Einstein, brother, my job was done, brother. My job was done. I just, you know, on the low. I don't appreciate you, Brother Eddie, blaming your wife for feeding you as she has fed you, brother, for what you're going through right now. That's an inside joke. Don't tell me about it. It's just us.
Hey,
listen, we're just talking.
My wife is in the day, so the doctors come in, the cardiologist comes here today to talk to me. You know, they give me the spiel. So when they come in, my wife is here. So she gets up like she's going to leave. They say, oh, you the wife? No, stay here. It's very important that you're here. She said, because, you know, you got to take care of the husband. They don't like to listen, and he's going on, so you got to make sure he does the right thing and all that. I said, well, she's a nurse. You know, he's like, yeah, well, that's even better. You got to listen to her. So he's going in on me. I said, well, she didn't want to bring all the fattening food in the house.
That's terrible. You leave my dear sister Carmen alone. Let her be deeply.
How dare you?
And she's a soldier. But, you know, we're making light of something that was said earlier. This is what I do want to add to the conversation about your family history. You were both transparent and candid of it, right, as you're speaking to the doctor. But we as the listening audience, all of us on the line, need to understand the significance of charting your family health. You know, some health conditions have a tendency to run in families, as you stated, Brother Eddie, including the heart, prostate, and breast cancer. Important to track the history of your family's health in order to determine your own health risk by tracking the health of your parents, your siblings, and other relatives with a family medical tree. You and your healthcare provider have a useful tool to help track disease patterns, such as you talked about, the cholesterol, the heart, prostate cancer, or breast cancer. You know, according to prostate cancer, high risk men may wish to begin yearly screening at the age of 40 or earlier. You know, breast cancer in women, you know, again, a family history of breast cancer is one of the risk factors. And breast cancer in men, approximately 2,000 men are diagnosed with breast cancer each year. So in creating, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, your family medical tree, some helpful hints to get started in creating your own family medical tree is maybe you want to interview all your relatives, including your immediate family, parents if they're still living, siblings, and grandparents, those who still have grandparents still living. You also want to work back as many generations as possible. You don't want to forget to include birth dates and cause of death. You want to record general health habits such as smoking. And, you know, I guess you can go either to your doctor or you can look up online what a family medical tree looks like, where you're in the middle and you have, you know, the date of birth, the gender, the general health of your siblings, then your mother and your mother's side, your father's and your father's side, so forth and so on. Go back as far as you can go. And that might help you because, again, as you said, Brother Rudolph, in listening to Brother Eddie's testimony, you know, some things were happening where on the normal, you're thinking, okay, well, you know, the sweating, the nausea, and the light is just something normal. I just got out the gym and the sauna, but it ended up being something else. So, as you know, we're a solutions-based program here on Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, and we wanted to offer that for consideration for our listening audience. We're at 4:54 Eastern Standard Time p.m. We've just exhausted the first hour. We're thankful to our dear brother, Brother Eddie Stevenson Muhammad, for coming on and testifying from his hospital bed. Brother Eddie, we don't want to keep you, brother, and tax you any longer than you have to be taxed. You know, we know you're right, brother. Okay. We got somebody calling in. Welcome to Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. To whom are we speaking, and how may we serve you?
Yes, but I didn't call in, but I'm just here. This is Brother Forrest. You know, this subject matter is near and dear to my own heart, no pun intended. But for those who don't know, Brother Chief Eddie Muhammad has been putting on health fairs in the Eden Wall projects all over the upper North Bronx and Westchester. He's out there in the community doing the damn thing. I'm so happy that Allah really gave him an ideal condition for the worst case scenario. You know, he's been talking to a man who's a doctor. He didn't know he was a doctor. He got enough common sense not to get behind that wheel. So, Brother Eddie, Allah's got his hand on you. Thank you. But I want to talk to Brother Eddie and to Brother Rudolph and Brother Yusuf about what do we do to prevent some of these things and getting to this to critical mass, because I've been at critical mass. Brother Eddie's been at critical mass. We have some other believers that I know that I'm going to be calling them, Brother Eddie, too, personally, because we need to do a conversation via paper that we put out every month, you know, on the interweb to talk about heart conditions, medications, and side effects. But one thing I noticed with myself, brother, and my journey is that a lot of our brothers and sisters don't even have PCPs. And I say PCP, and some people scratch in their head, what does that mean? Primary care physicians. And then on top of not having primary care physicians, which means that we're not getting a full body workup every year, or at least twice a year. And when I say a full body workout checkup, that means EKGs, echocardiograms, all the things. And I'm not talking waiting until we're 40. My disease of my heart is prevalent, and my family has killed six of my family members. It wasn't until it got to me that my mother told me the truth. It wasn't until it got to me that my mother told me the truth. Oh, yeah, your grandfather, my father died of it. Your father's father died of it. Your father died of it. Your father's sister died of it. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. What happened to the family history?
When was you going to tell me?
When I was 21. Now I'm on the operating room table. You're going to lay down the whole history. I could have been working on not doing certain things, not eating certain things that will exacerbate my pre-existing condition from birth. So, Brother Joe, Brother Eddie, go ahead and talk about it. I know Brother Eddie's also into prevention because he's been trying to help the community get on being in the know of good health.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, Brother, you made a absolute great point. We have to have our physicals, right, every year. But let me tell you, I go take a physical every year. I just took a physical 2 months ago and got a perfect EKG. It was perfect. Now, I've always had my cholesterol was running high, but I'm one of those men, particularly black men, I don't like to take medication. And most of us, a lot of us are like, so what happens, I always just tell my doctor, you know, he works with me. He knows that's how I am. So if my cholesterol comes out high, I say, look, doc, let me work on my diet. Let me do a little exercise, lose 5 pounds, whatever. You know, retest me and give me 60 days, 90 days to retest me. And that's usually what happens. And I get it on. I do things that I need to do, start doing some curves and different things. He retests me, and the cholesterol comes down. Okay? So he said, all right, I'll keep that up. Now, what happens? I start going back to eating, you know, things that I shouldn't be eating. And I'm one of those people like you, brother, as far as my family history, we are just predisposed to cholesterol. We don't absorb it. We're one of those non-absorbers, so it really affects us. I know that now. One day I told my doctor, I said, and he told me, he said, Ed, okay, why don't you want to take the medication? I said, Doc, listen, I just don't trust this medication and stuff like that. He said, okay, I understand that. He said, but let me tell you what the alternative. He said, you don't take it. You got your cholesterol like this and that. He said, you're going to have a heart attack. That's going to be what's going to happen. And no one told me that, but 7 years ago, and I'm in a hospital bed now, heart attack. All right, so we and now today, one of the doctors, another cardiologist, because then, you know, they come to your bedside and talking to you, want to know about, and this is a teaching hospital I'm in. So the cardiologist comes up, two or three or four other doctors, and they questioning you. And the doctor told me today, he said, let me tell you something. He said, you know who dies of heart disease today that don't know they have it? He said, because the advancements that we have made with medicine and procedures, he said, if you know you have it, there's all kinds of things that you can do to prevent you from having a heart attack or stroke or, you know, sudden death. He said, but those who know, they get treatment and they can live a long time. They have medications and stuff. But you don't know, or you are one like me, well, listen, I know I'm good. I think I'm good. I'm strong. I can do 50 push-ups. I'm pull-ups. I'm good. I'm on the treadmill. I never get any pain in my chest. So I'm feeling, man, I ain't nothing wrong with my heart. And look what happened. So we have to really pay attention and go to your doctor, find somebody that you trust. If you have a problem, you may have to get on that medication until you can get that under control before something happens. Right now, guess what? I'm taking about 5 different medications. They bring in the hand.
Yes, sir.
Take this time. And I'm not saying I ain't taking that. I'm swallowing those pills because it's a matter of life and death right now. They got to give me the blood thinners and all those things to make sure anything is working properly. But
yes, sir.
That's the most important thing. How do we prevent it? You know, pay attention. Cholesterol levels. If you got high cholesterol, you're not doing anything about it, then you have a ticking time bomb inside your body. It's not a matter of if, it's just when. Same with high blood pressure. If you want to do something about it, it's gonna get you. That's what I have.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And Brother Eddie, I want to add to the conversation about the listening audience. I've heard some crazy things as I've traveled through the community, even in my own family. And one of the craziest things I've heard is that, we're not going to talk about that because we're not going to call it into existence. You know, this is how people are thinking. I'm not going to talk about heart disease. I'm not going to talk about cancer. God, I don't call. As Brother Eddie was just saying so eloquently, it's diet. It's what we put in our mouths. It's that's why we got to talk about it. You know, there's certain foods that my family can't eat anymore. You know, as I study more, like eggs. Eggs exacerbate the heart. My family already has a pre-existing disposition to heart disease. So eggs is out of the question. There's a lot of different things that we got to talk about that may not pertain to Brother Eddie as it pertains to me, or pertain to Brother Rudolph as it pertains to Brother Yusuf, but the conversations are worth having so we can get the best possible diet. And the number one got to stop doing is eating processed foods. The processed foods, the red dye number 40, all the stuff they put in the chips and all the stuff that we love to eat.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got to hone in on our diet. I don't even call it a diet. We got to hone in on how we live. You know, as the book says, how to eat to live, we got to make sure that we're eating the right foods that are alive, that will keep us alive, you know. My first cardiac incident where I died was eating a potato chip. Can you imagine? It would have been on my Tuesday. Brother Forrest Muhammad fought 100 battles, won all of them, but Lay's potato chips took them out.
Took them out.
Hey, listen, right. They always said that about Lay's. What the Lay's potato chips are to die for? They always said that.
They'll lay you down all night. They'll lay you down. Down goes Smallers.
Listen, I just want to say this. We have the divine prescription. And that is how to eat to live. And, you know, recently the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he said that was law, right, in the Nation of Islam. And somebody asked the question, what happens if you don't do it? He said, if you don't do it, death, that's what's going to happen. You know, that's the consequences of not.
And he wasted no time saying it. Either.
Right. He said, it's not that Allah's punishing you, Allah's going to kill you. It's they have poisoned everything out here. the water's poisoned. Even the vegetable, the GMO vegetables, the thing. You might think you're eating good, but you're not getting an organic vegetable. You know yourself, it's poison you eat it. So we're not having those long intervals between our meals, and we're not fasting 3 days out of the month like we instructed to do, that we fall victim to. So, you know, this is a big, big wake-up call for me. You know, like I said, I'm going to how to eat to live is not even am I going to do it? Am I not going to do it? It's life and death for me. And everything I put in my mouth, and before I put it in my mouth, I'm going to say to myself, is this killing me or is this adding life to me? And if it's a piece of fried chicken that I know is killing me, that tastes good, I'm not going to have that. And
you're
that's
sure.
Just where I'm at, brother, because it's serious out here, you know. This is really life and death, and we got to really discipline ourselves what we put in our mouth.
It's interesting you should talk about the food being poisoned too, Brother Eddie, because there's a documentary on Netflix, and it's called Poison. And it speaks to even, you know, it spoke to the bacteria outbreaks in the past 20 years. You might remember some children they got E. coli from eating hamburgers out at Jack in the Box in Seattle. And then there was a, spinach E. coli outbreak. And,
yeah.
And so.
And the lettuce, the romaine lettuce.
And what they found out was that also most of these callbacks from these vegetable manufacturers was as a result of where they plant these vegetables, they have livestock right next to it. Feces from the livestock, after all the cows and all the livestock are shot up with all these drugs, were getting into the soil where the vegetables were being grown. And so, you know, once that bacteria, that E. coli plants, then you have what you have. So we promote Netflix, because they took the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan off of Netflix. But I just wanted to share with you, if you get a chance to see the documentary Poison, that's something that bears witness to what we just said.
Yes, sir.
So, well, brothers and sisters, we want to encourage you that if you want to call in at 563-999-3089, you certainly can call in and join in on the conversation. Brother Eddie, we don't want to take you any longer than you need to be on, brother. We thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. As Brother Rudolph said, don't be so drastic next time just to get on the show, brother, as a guest. Brother.
Right. You can come on the show and get ready, Eddie.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for having me, brother, and thank you for doing what you do. And I will definitely be getting on more often.
Thank you, beloved.
Yes,
we love you and appreciate you for what you do, brother.
Oh, thank you, brother. Yes, sir. Likewise.
You know, Alima and Ayani can't wait to get a kiss from their pop-pop. So,
I can't wait to kiss them and hug them.
That's right. So you can be discharged, brother. Give the family the greetings. We love you, brother.
I love y'all too, man. Salaam alaikum.
Salaam alaikum.
Brother
Rudolph, Brother Youssef.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And before y'all move on, I just want to add this to the conversation, brother. Brother Rudolph and I, and the three of us have talked about this before, but everybody who's listening today, if you have any, you've been with your, who's washing dishes? Is that Brother Rudolph washing dishes while we're doing the show?
I think so.
Now you know it is. You know it is,
Brother Rudolph. Brother Rudolph, I know you got three jobs, brother. Can you tell Miguel that you will come back to wash the dishes in a few minutes? I know you're working at Taco Bell right now.
Hey, hold on, I'm washing the dishes, man. I'm on the radio.
Oh my God. What we should do is record our conversations behind the scene and make that into a comedy show. So anyway, I was going to say, brother, the listening audience, I don't care if you're 18, 16, 66, 96. You've been walking with your body as long as you've been alive. The moment that you feel that something's not right, out of the norm, get your behind to the doctor or to the emergency room, especially if you feel something wrong in your chest. Because the heart is it. I mean, yeah, the brain is the master, but the brain has two functions. It's going to keep itself going, and it's going to keep the heart going. But the heart keeps the brain going. So if you mess up your heart and you have a massive stroke, you're going to be, there's many ways to die. I don't think you want to die that way. We're going to die. We're all going to die. But my grandma used to tell me, you can tell a lot about a person how they live according to the way they die. And I've seen some horrific deaths in the last 36 months. People hooked up to machines looking like, I thought I was in a mechanic shop. You know, all kinds of blood cleansing machine. I seen one brother, I'm not going to say his name, but may Allah be pleased with him. But he was on a blood cleansing machine, a heart machine, a kidney machine, and a liver machine simultaneously. You had to wear a hard hat to come into his ICU room. It was just like, I didn't even know how he could sleep because it was just noise. That's not the way Allah intended for us to die. Just according to how the messenger described to us, we're supposed to die with our families sitting around us, and we say goodbye, and we fade off to the next, we make our transition. Not hooked to 1,000 machines, and all this can be stopped by us taking care of ourselves and listening to our body as it talks to us as we move around daily, you know? And that's my piece. I'm going to say, y'all continue on the great show you're having. I'm going back into the listening room and listen. Thank you, brothers.
No, we thank you, Brother Forrest, for calling in, brother, and sharing your expertise.
That's right.
And your
yes,
experience,
sir.
Because you've always been candid as well and transparent with your personal experience, brother, and the fact that you're always concerned about what you shared with us, whether it was the heart condition sensitivity we should have, the medications, or the side effects, brother. We thank Allah for you and your family for even in the midst of what you've experienced in terms of your, you know, comorbidities or pre-existing health conditions, you come on every Friday, brother, or your wonderful wife or your family, you know, engineer this program, and brother, it doesn't go unnoticed, brother. You know, for me and Brother Rudolph, we know your contribution to Black Hole Radio, brother, is priceless, brother. Is priceless.
That's so right. Yes, sir.
We thank you for coming in and chiming in. And, you know, as you know, too, I'm just the logistics chief. So once you, Brother Rudolph and Brother Eddie, start dialoguing, I'm just making sure, you know, not too many pots are clinging back there in Brother Rudolph's kitchen. You know what I mean? So anyway, brothers and sisters, I mean, it's so much.
I got to get this work done before my wife gets home, brother.
Well, we know about the honeydew list. It's good to know the honey's still on the moon, brother. It's good to know the honey's
right.
Still on the moon. But, brother,
right.
Sister,
yes,
so much is occurring, you know, whether it's your personal health, whether it's, if I just flip through the news reports that we send each other in the last 2 weeks, say beginning in August, one of the articles was concerned about COVID still being around this summer. And I don't know where you are, but I attended a family reunion of 150 people about 2 weeks ago, and out of that, 25 people left there and realized they had COVID. So, you know, word to the wise is sufficient. Then when we talk about NASA lost contact with Voyager 2 spacecraft after an antenna accident. Now, we don't know what's really going on over our heads, but guess what? Something is going on over our heads. Before this massive fire in Maui, Hawaii, don't forget there were massive fires burning in California and Nevada. And see, that wind creates what they call fire worlds.
Right.
RLS. So it's not just the fire, but the fire and the wind. And these are, you know, the mainstream media, they'll say Mother Nature. But if you follow the etymology of Mother Nature, you can go back to the writings on the pyramids. They call it the Medunetra. That's where they got it from. Netra means the writings of God. So we don't believe in no mystery God, family. All these conditions, they might say is El Nino and what else they call that thing that we should be aware of. The weather conditions, I don't know. But
yeah, the vortex and all. They come up with everything to deny the existence of the God being at work.
That's right. Who makes rain, hail, snow, and earthquakes. And then, Brother Rudolph, I sent you a thing a couple of weeks ago about a cyber attack that disrupted the hospital computer systems across the country, closing ERs. Right? What happens when cyber attacks disrupt hospital computer systems? This is the time we're living in. Now, Brother Eddie was talking about his health, but he used the term we often use here on disaster awareness for community preparedness. He said it's not a matter of if, just a matter of when. And so we liken it unto those trailers that you used to see in the movie theaters before the main feature came on. And they said, coming to a city near you soon. And that's what we're saying. Whether it's cyber attacks in hospitals or NASA antennas or COVID not going anywhere. And then this was a blotch on the EMT system, Brother Rudolph. You may or may not be able to relate to it, but EMT was arrested for stealing money from an undercover investigator posing as a patient. Does that go on in these buses, in these boxes? Well, I
Brother, that and some more goes on.
Good God from heaven.
Yeah, that and some,
well,
yeah, that, you know.
And some more.
Look, I'm going to say, I'm going to use this opportunity to put my political hat on now and throw this in there. Man, they need to pay them these better so they don't have to go out of here stealing when they're trying to save your life, you and my life. You know, it's a darn shame that people are taking orders at fast food restaurants, making more than the people who, when you call 911, you expecting them to come and save your relative. All right, I'm done with that. I'm done with that.
Okay, we're going to move right along. I understand. I hear you loud and clear, and I think our listening audience does as well. And then, of course, you know what's happening in Maui, Hawaii. They called it apocalyptic. That's a spiritual term. People jumping into the ocean to flee wildfires.
Trying to get away from the fire.
Last week, yeah. So as we speak, the death toll over there is 55. You know, certain residents, if they still have their homes, they're allowed to return. But you're talking about 1,000 and more properties destroyed over there. So, yeah, that sounds like apocalyptic. But then, look, we were talking about mob attacks and police brutality off the air before we came on. But however you look at it, the latest report is that in the United States, there are 2 mass shootings per day this year. Not one per day. 2 per day, according to this report. So a lot is going on, brothers and sisters. Word to the wise is sufficient. We thank our listening audience for staying with us. Disaster preparedness is critically important. Some of us may have seen the video of the incident that occurred in Montgomery, Alabama, on the docks.
Yeah, the gulf.
I just found it interesting that it occurred right after the International Training Conference, where those of us who were blessed to either attend or know about the curriculum that Brother Grandmaster Abdul Aziz Muhammad and his wonderful wife, Sister Aziza, put on for the Nation of Islam and anyone who wanted to register and attend to defend themselves. Look, brothers and sisters, on and cracking. I just wanted to share a little rundown chronologically of what you may or may not have heard about. And we know only mainstream media is going to provide or produce whatever they're going to provide or produce, because they're up under the auspices of billionaires who control the media. We're just up under the auspices, thank Allah, of an all-wise, true and living God, W. Father Muhammad and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we pray Allah that their perfect helper, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is pleased with us as we try to get to you, like with the final call, news with views you can use. Brother Rudolph?
Yes, sir, beloved. Yes, sir. My God, my God. You know, I was going to not say anything about what happened in Montgomery, Alabama. However, you know, I can't let it pass. I can't let it pass. You know, so a lot of people have a lot of different viewpoints on the reality of what transpired. You know, here's the reality of what transpired. All right? Some people took an opportunity to try and exert their privileged position over someone who they felt did not have a privileged position. Now, the man was just doing his job. He was only doing his job when he was sucker punched and accosted by these cowards. And it just so happens that people saw it and responded appropriately to the threat. And that's exactly what happened. Now, you could pick it apart and go to the individual instances and pick out what you want, but that's what happened. Had they just adhered to the instruction and moved the boat, none of the... Just look at the side of it. The positive side was it brought about a sense of unity to a people who are divided and who are divided by their open enemy. So the enemy of my enemy is my friend kicked in. And I'm going to disaster prepared just what you talked about. This is why you need to train, family. You need to be trained how to protect and defend yourself and your family, because it's coming to a city near you. You never know what day and what time and what place it's going to pop off where your physical life is going to be threatened by people who, for whatever the reason, just feel like they're going to do what they think they can do. How are you going to be able to respond to it? And how would you respond? And if you saw someone else to ask the bigger question. Because we see that this goes on every day. Although this time there were people videoing, some people put them cameras and went and got involved. And more of that is what needs to happen in our community than some of the tragedies in our community.
you're coming in broken up, beloved. I don't know where you are, but your reception, your transmission is choppy.
Yeah, I was okay. I was on my that was my Bluetooth. All right, so
no, brother, it's that dishwater, brother. We just lost Brother Rudolph, Brother Yusuf. Continue on, brother.
Yes, sir. Well, I just picked up where I believe he left off, and we have to understand that even in the Holy Quran, which is the book of the Muslims, and it verifies the truth that's in the Bible, it speaks to retaliation being prescribed, particularly if you're in the right. We're taught never to be the aggressor, but should we be aggressed upon, then we call on the God and we do what we're born to do or what we're trained to do. Number one, you have to have some knowledge of how to defend yourself. That's critically important. That's disaster awareness for community preparedness. Number two, you have to be at some level of physical shape to be able to do what you've been trained to do. I never forget Brother Fars, where one of the brothers talked about if something jumped off two blocks away from the mosque down at the Apollo Theater, and we had to go down there and do what we born and trained to do. But for the brothers who were out of shape, once we got down there, what we going to say to our enemy? Hold up. Let us catch our breath.
Hold no. up. Wait a minute.
No, that can't happen. So even though there was a silent condition that by Allah's grace and mercy revealed itself with Brother Eddie, he was working out. Treadmill. He was lifting light weights. And he said he's about 55 years young, if I heard him correctly.
Yes, sir.
I'm about 10 years his senior. So, you know, I got to make sure I'm right. I just can't let nothing, you know, we got granddaughters, man. We got, you know, our sons might not be around to help us out. And with
That's
a wicked
right.
world like this today, you know, I feel for our people, man, because they're not preparing themselves, generally speaking. And, you know, I don't know, you know, what your opinion is about, you know, weapons and whatnot, guns and whatnot. But, you know, if you're not around it, then what? You can say what you're trained to do with those, but remember there's always something bigger out there. And there just may come an opportunity where you can have all the weaponry in the world. But that, you know, I'll just leave it at that. I'll say something about I wasn't going to get into any particulars either about that incident in Montgomery, because the reality is, even though what I did see, it was bits and pieces. So far be it for me to even speak on it. My wife shared with me, you know, her perception of what happened, and there were various people from various angles videotaping it on their phone. But by the time I wanted to see the incident, I went to YouTube.
It was taken
right?
down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Only thing they kept up was the ones that were, you know,
with the memes and stuff on it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I said, well, I just fall back. I knew it occurred because everybody talking about it, and I just see bits and pieces of what happened, but far be it for me to analyze it, because I didn't see the whole thing from beginning to end. And of course, as I said earlier, mainstream media controlled by billionaires. That's why we thank a lot
my brother,
Black Hole Radio.
My brother,
go ahead, brother.
You can check out Roland Martin's analyzation of the event. He has most of the footage. I saw it from beginning to end, brother, and as they say in the hood, they got what their hand called for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just want to give a big up to Aquaman. See, Aquaman is black.
That's right.
as a championship swimmer that I used to be, his stroke was a little off, but the brother's young and he had a lot of energy because he wasted a lot of energy getting across the water, but he got across and he put in some work.
And got across when he got out to take care of it.
Yeah, I said he put in work when he got out, brother. And not only that,
yes, sir.
For those who don't swim, if you've never been swimming before, when you jump in the water with all your clothes on, everything begins to weigh 10 times more because it's taking on water. So not only did he swim across, he pulled himself onto the dock and jumped out like he had just jumped out of the sandbox. You know, so, hey, I loved it, though. I loved it. The restraint that the brother showed. The brother showed a lot of restraint and not hitting the women. But I love how the sisters came to the brother's aid and said, "Oh, we got the women. Y'all deal with the men." I was just getting ready to say that.
No, Brother Yusuf, and Brother Forrest, you right on. And see, again, if we pick this thing apart with the critical eye, it shows unity across the board because our sisters had our brothers' backs. They said, "You ain't got to hit them. We got them. Y'all take care of them." You know, and so some people could say, "Man, you're glorifying violence." No, that wasn't violence. The violence was the initial act perpetrated, was the snowball to start rolling down the hill. That was the violence. Everything that came after that was justified.
Brother.
Yes, sir.
And Brother Yusuf, it is ironic through the annals of history. When white people attack black people, they're justified or it's something legal. But when black people defend themselves, it's violence. No.
It's violence.
Everybody on that dock, the man that they attacked was not a security guard. He was the first mate chief dock advisor. He was in charge of the dock. He was 65 years old. These young, drunk white boys attacked this 65-year-old man. And he put in some work, too.
And he put in some work.
When the brothers got those four white dudes off him, he took off his shirt and put in some more work. He wasn't having it. So it was a good showing of what the messenger taught us. He said our unity was the key to our success. And, of course, Brother Yusuf, the white man is not going to keep our victories on the air and let black people see a successful victory. They're not going to do it.
No, they're not going to do that. Yeah, that's called cognitive dissonance. They can't stand that. They're not going to let that happen. They can't even, by nature, they just can't stand that. No, can't let the truth happen.
No. Right.
Brother Rudolph, I'm sorry to be such a great part of your show today, but you hit two subjects dear to my heart. Because Brother Rudolph and Brother Yusuf, y'all know I will not walk away from a good battle. You know, I have a hard time walking away from a good battle.
Never known you to do that, sir.
like Vernon John said.
Brother, all I can tell you is that the people in that fight, the black people in that fight, had to be direct descendants from the people who walked with Martin Luther King across the Montgomery Bridge. That's all I can tell you, brother.
This is payback, right.
They was getting some payback for the dogs being sick on people, for the bombs being blown up, for the four girls killed in the church, for everything, brother. They was, brothers came out of the sky. They just started floating down from the sky, brother. They just...
yes, sir.
The white boys got in the boat. They thought it was getting away, but three brothers came up and said, it's not over.
And got on the boat. Right. You ain't getting away that easy. Bring your brother over here. Yeah, man.
However, brother, I wish everybody in that video, all the brothers and sisters, would visit their local Muhammad's Mosque and ask who is the chief trainer for brothers and sisters in martial arts and go visit that dojo. Please. Get some training, as Brother Yusuf was saying. Get some training. I saw some wasted mm-hmm. energy, but however, I can't complain because it was unified, and it was just unified. That's all I'm going to say because I don't want to get put out of the nation because I think the minister asked us not to say too much about it.
Right, right. I'm not saying, yeah, I'm going to keep my comments. I saw direct pressure to stop bleeding. I saw a lot of splinting to help immobilize situations, and I saw a lot of safety maneuvers being used to help situations.
That's right. Well, you know, I want to add the quote by Maya Angelou, if I may, and I quote, "You might not be able to control all the events that happen to you, but you can choose not to be reduced by them," unquote. That's Maya Angelou. I think that sums up what we saw. I also
in a nutshell.
I also think in what you have gotten today from my dear brother, Keith Eddie Stevenson Muhammad, testifying of his recent health challenge. And as critical as it was, we thank Allah that he had the strength to come on and the spirit to come on and the wherewithal to come on to be transparent and candid. And so this is what we promote here at Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness week
That's
in
right.
and week out. We say get informed. We say make a plan. We say develop a survival kit.
Right.
And we say periodically reassess your plan and your kit, whether it's a go bag, whether it's your health and your healthcare provider relationships, or whether it's self-defense. All of this has to do with disaster awareness for community preparedness. And as we enter into the last 20 minutes of this week's program, we encourage anyone to call in and to ask questions and learn all about yourself, to call in and to add on to the beauty of what we've discussed thus far. We, none of us here, are afraid of having courageous conversation. So we encourage you to call in and offer any questions, comments, or constructive criticisms that you might have. Lastly, you know, when we talked about, with Brother Eddie's case, he talked about his family history. And Brother Forrest bore witness to it, that he found out as a result of, you know, him going through a critical analysis and health challenge, that was on the physical side of things. I found out, too, Brother Forrest, on the mental health side of things when we were trying to get my son's balance back. May Allah be pleased with Brother Deion Jamal. And the doctor said, well, what's your family history of mental health? And my wife and I looked at each other like baffled, like perplexed. We don't know. So my wife said, facetiously, but she said it for real. He said, all I know is my side of my family, my uncles all get drunk. In other words, alcoholism was their thing to heal the trauma mentally they were going through. He said, that's all I can say about my family. So I get on the phone and call my mother, and you know, you can't pick your parents, right? But a lot of my parents and my mother's side of the family, they doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, they teachers, educators, quote unquote, the bourgeoisie of that time. So I'm saying, well, Mom, like, yo, what's up? Anybody, you know, experiencing any mental health issues? Now, I know I have an aunt, her younger sister, that had what they told us when we were younger. She had a nervous breakdown when she was in high school. So we knew of her change because it was just so chronic and different. But the rest of them, aunts, uncles, he said, yeah, all of them is on some kind of psychotropic medication. I'm like, huh? He said, oh, yeah. And she ran the roll down. But like you, Brother Fogg, I had to find out my family medical history on the mental side, as you did on the physical side, whether it was, you know, heart or cholesterol or cancer, whatever it is. You know, let's tune in. Let's get informed about our family, you know, medical situation. Let's make a plan, if we can, after we get informed about it. Let's develop a survival kit, learn how to eat to live, work out, train, and then periodically reassess your plan and your kit. So we're at 5:41 Eastern Standard Time, PM. I'm going to hand it back over to our dear brother, Brother Rudolph, and let
brother
him take us where Lord's guiding. Go ahead, Brother Foss.
Brother Yusuf, you hit another vein in my family, brother. It's called the family wound. You know, that Dr. Joyce DeGruy, Joy DeGruy, not Joyce, Joy, J-O-Y DeGruy, I think it's D-E-G-R-U-Y. She's one of the foremost proponents for this theory. If we had come out of slavery in 2023 in the present condition of the world, all our ancestors would have gotten some type of intervention. All that pain from slavery was never, ever addressed. So it's been passed down through the generations. Some of our family can handle it and get over it. And then you compound that with the state of the world today, and some of our family members cannot handle it. This is a family wound that we have in the Black community worldwide, because we've been born in trauma. You know, you don't realize, brother, you moved from New York City to where you live at now. I don't want to tell everybody where you live at, but I guarantee you saw a vast difference on how you move about, because you don't have to be so much on edge, because you don't live in the fast pace of New York City. You know, Brother Rudolph, everybody know where he lived at. He decided to leave Brooklyn to go to someplace more intense. So he doesn't. Huh?
No, I just left.
Okay. But, brother, what happened to our brother, it happened in my family. One of my aunts tried to kill herself. You know, three beautiful children. She tried to kill herself. She couldn't take it, but she overcame. You know, the heart condition got her, but another one of my aunts was raped at 5 years old. She didn't overcome. She went to the bottle. This is prevalent in the Black community, but we don't talk about it. We don't talk about anything else but mental health in the Black community. You know,
right. It's a taboo subject, brother.
Right. I have very close relatives. If I said something right now about them, they will strike me down and hit me in the head with a brick. But they have mental illness. It is not just your family, brother. My family suffers from it in a big way. Because we never address it, because it is, like Brother Rudolph just says, taboo subject. So we pray for all our family members in the Black diaspora that's going through it, and we got to figure out a way to get them help as soon as possible.
Yes, sir. That's true.
That's right, brother.
And you know what? We have to do a show on mental illness and bring some on that have workable solutions or technique that the family can use to help work through some of the situations that they're going through.
Yes, yeah, it's a myriad of issues and variables when you talk about mental health, and as you talk about logistics, Brother Forrest, from New York to Detroit, and I'm in the southeastern area of Virginia. You see, I can throw a stone and hit Jamestown, Virginia. And so even though the pace might be slower as it relates to the pace in New York and Detroit, you know, when I came down here, brother, I looked at brothers in their face, brother, and it looked like they just got off the slave ship, brother. And this is 2016, 2017, 2023. And then when they open their mouth and they tell me of their nurturing in this area, brother, say, I just did. I haven't met a brother yet, pretty much, brothers, that hadn't done less than 15 years, brother. And I'm talking about just for a nickel bag. Like, huh? 15 to 25, 25 to life. For what? Brothers are caught up in the prison industrial complex. That's just an extension of the slave ship, born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Sister Dr. Joy DeGruy causes the post-traumatic slave disorder. So even my own parents who are from this area, as we used to say in the street, if you looked at her melanin, you would say she was light, bright, and damn near white. You know, not yellow. So it wasn't until I became, again, an adult, I'm sitting around the table with my aunts, all of them like that, in terms of their complexion. And they told me of their grandmother who was raped by a white man. Never said nothing to nobody until a certain point. And I was like, what? I mean, I know generally speaking that took place in the enslavement process, but I was wondering at that time, why y'all wait till I get in my 20s, my 30s, damn near 40 to tell me that? Season 4, but yeah, all that's trauma, brother. All that's trauma, brother. And that's all up in our DNA, brother. That's why I thank Allah for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that the God would come and ask us the question, the original man. And then teach us of, you know, I was up in New York, brothers, last weekend, and I got a chance to hear, we say he's younger than us, Brother Diamond, student minister Diamond, Muhammad teacher at Muhammad Mosque number 7. You know what the subject was? The lost found Asiatic Japan's. What would we know about that were it not for the God coming? Raising the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister. I mean, you talking about disaster prepared, a survival kit. I was with a young brother earlier, and I'm going to get off of it, but he was proud, young brother proud. A very intelligent young brother, 15 years old, got a lot going for himself. So, and he believes in following his family tree in terms of genealogy. So he says father's side was Jamaican, Liberian.
Oh.
Our features are very much African, very much African. But he also went on to say in his research that he had German in his family. And I was just saying to myself, see, you know, this world got our people so twisted up that, you know, when the God said original, that knocked out all that other stuff, man. I mean, it's good to know, but all that other stuff, as we know, is just confusing as hell to keep our people right away from the knowledge itself and the knowledge of the all-wise, true, and living God. So, yeah, Brother Foss, you're right. We do need to study about that trauma we've been through. And, Brother Rudolph, you are right. We do need to recruit and appeal to some of these subject matter experts that can do something about it. So I'm going to get up off of it, and Brother Rudolph, let you carry us further into the program as we enter into the last 10 minutes.
Well, in these last 10 minutes, I'm going to take 5 of them, Brother Yusuf, and we're going to talk about the heart. Let's do this crash course on the anatomy of the heart. Okay, first of all, the heart is a muscle. And you know, like any other muscle, you have to use it or you lose it. The heart operates off of what's called automaticity, meaning you won't do anything to cause your heart to beat. It was set that way from birth, and it will continue that way unless you do something to interrupt it until death. The heart is divided into 2 sides, left side and right side. The left side of the heart is filled with clean or oxygenated blood. the right side of the heart is filled with deoxygenated, or for lack of a better term, dirty blood. The heart is also divided into four chambers, two atria and two ventricles. Atrium are simply holding containers. If you lived in one of them big houses down in Georgia and if people came to visit you, you'd be up on the balcony talking to them from the balcony as they walked into the atrium of the house. It's just a room that you can use to hold things. The chambers below the atrium are called ventricles. The left ventricle is called the workhorse of the heart because it's not the only chamber that does work, but it is the hardest working chamber of the heart. It pumps the blood from the heart throughout the litany of arteries, arterioles, and capillaries throughout the body. So, now you know it's a muscle. It has two sides, and it has four chambers. The upper chambers are atrium, which just hold blood, dirty or clean, and the bottom chambers, ventricles, move the blood. The left ventricle forces the blood throughout the body. The right ventricle forces the blood through the pulmonary artery into the lungs to go down into the bottom of the lungs to be reoxygenated to come back in to get pumped throughout the body. Every chamber has its function that it does. Within the ventricle itself is the pacemaker of the heart, and it's set to have the heart beating at between, well, for the average adult heart, anywhere between 60 and 100 beats per minute can be normal for that individual. Now, in most texts that you'll read or you talk to most professionals, they'll tell you it's really 60 to 80 beats per minute is considered normal. Anything above 80 is considered to be moving toward what they call tachycardia or fast heartbeat. But again, depending on person's history, anywhere between 60 and 100 can be normal for that individual. Anything less than 60 is called what they call bradycardia or a slow heartbeat. But that pacemaker is designed to fire off regularly unless it's interrupted. If something happens to the pacemaker of the heart, which is called the sinoatrial node, then there's a backup node called the atrioventricular. And now it kicks off and starts firing off, and it will cause the heart to beat anywhere between 40 and 60 beats per minute, able to help sustain life. The heart operates off of electricity. We have electricity in our bodies. That's why there's so much about shocking a person when they're in cardiac arrest or attaching the defibrillator to give them that shock in order to jumpstart the heart, similar to jumpstarting a dead car battery. So I just wanted to throw that out there, Brother Yusuf, really quickly, just to give people a basic anatomy of the heart. Last thing is the heart has three layers. The epicardium, which is the outer layer. The myocardium, which is the heart muscle. Endocardium is the inner layer. And if you... it causes pressure on the heart, which then affects the ability of the heart to beat the way it needs to or to pump blood sufficiently throughout the body. So I just wanted to throw that out there, Brother Yusuf. And maybe at another time we'll go further into the heart muscle and we'll talk about certain heart illnesses and diseases and the signs and symptoms of them, and we'll have a subject matter expert, a cardiologist, on the line to talk about this thing and talk about how we can navigate through them. Brother Yusuf?
Yes, sir, Brother Rudolph. Thank you so much, brother, for sharing that. The physical, the anatomy, the kinesiology, the structure of the heart, and I think I want to close out with the symbolism of the heart. I'll never forget our dear sister Minister Ava Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with her. She
yes,
said
sir.
When you go into the etymology of the heart, it means one having courage. And when you talk about the symbolism of the heart, is as it's identified as the center of the entire body, it is also the seat of life or emotion, or reason, or will, W-I-L-L, or intellect, or purpose, or the mind. When you look into many religions, it has to do with truth, conscience, and moral courage, whether it's thought, the divine center, or the third eye of wisdom. The heart is considered the diamond of purity and essence and the center of understanding. In other religions, it's the seat of emotion, the mind, referring to the anatomical organ. I believe that's why the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said it's not just how to eat to live, the foods that you eat, but it's also your thoughts that help
yes,
you to live. You know, in the to be that the heart was like a child's heart, a mother's heart, was the seat of emotion, thought, and will and intention. And so I just wanted to add on to the societal and cultural definition of heart, because, you know, back in the day when a brother would take on, say, like David and Goliath in the Bible, you say, bro,
right.
David has some heart. You know what I mean?
Right.
When you had to go toe and blow for blow with a brother who may have had a reputation of being physically fit and larger than you, and you were smaller. But if you had to go toe-to-toe, you had to rely on some heart. And then when you did what you were born to do, brother said, oh, man, that little brother got heart. You
right.
See?
Yes, sir.
So I just say that to say to connect the dots, family. Let us be cognizant of our physical hearts, the blood, the atrium, ventricles, but also let us be cognizant of our societal hearts as it relates to symbolism and our culture, our standard of
That's
behavior.
Right.
All of this is going to be critically important to keep our scales balanced, if you will. You got to have heart, and you got to use your mind in conjunction with your heart in order to be the best human being you can be. And so this is what
right.
we want to offer you this week on disaster awareness for community preparedness, whether you're talking about the physical heart or the metaphysical heart. Were you talking about the metaphorical meanings of mind, intention, or core? All of these things are super important as it relates to your human cognition, your consciousness, your spirit. And so it's 6 o'clock. I'm out of here. We thank you, family, for tuning in this week. We look forward to serving you next week, same time, same station. And even with these few words shared by me and we, I guess it's still the way it used to be. The strength of a nation is its family, and real freedom is responsibility, the ability to respond legitimately by any means necessary. Thank you for tuning in to another weekly edition of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Assalamu alaikum. Peace.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
I cannot help somebody as I travel alone. I cannot help somebody in a world or a soul. My living shall